And welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. I don't think I've ever heard the word resilience used more in our public life and national conversation than in 2020. In Australia, as we face the very real threats of drought, bushfires, storms, and the coronavirus, we're anxious, fearful, uncertain about even life itself. Lots of us have been asking big existential questions of life. Who am I? What is it all about? Some of the questions at the core of the great work of the Resilience Centre. Its founder and director, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, has some insights and answers that I expect will really get you thinking. Times like these turn out to be a golden opportunity to do some of that thinking.
I think when there's a feeling of threat,
yes,
there are existential questions underneath of that. People who are not threatened are people who have got themselves together and have a real sense of their own meaning and purpose, and they're not threatened by losing stuff,
yeah,
or even having their life threatened. Like, to get to that point is probably a lifetime's worth of work, but it's an existential thing, very much so.
When you say existential, just what do you mean by that?
Existential means, why do we exist? Who am I? Why am I here on this planet at this particular time? Why have I got this colour skin? Why have I got this shaped eyes? Why have I placed in this place? Why am I this gender? Why am I not 100 years ago? Why now?
And that question has changed, I think, over the generations, because there used to be more frameworks. There used to be more of a framework of thinking about life, whereas now we just kind of make it up.
We have a lot more choice.
Yeah.
I think we have choices that we can choose which religion we're going to believe.
Yes.
We can choose which one suits us the most. We sort of put ourselves right in the centre.
Yeah. Because everyone has a faith. This is one of the interesting questions I often think about.
Even an atheist has a faith.
Yeah. What to believe or what not
to
believe.
That's correct.
I wonder whether part of this existential question is our normal mindset or our default mindset that life is one of health, strength and longevity. Because that's how we live.
Yes.
Day to day.
Yes, as though we're going to live forever.
With the gift of modern medicine.
And we're going to be strong and go to the gym until we're 110.
No.
And have lots of muscles.
Not me. No.
But that's what we think.
Yeah.
We don't really think about what life is about and that shortened period of time that we have in this life and the meaning of that until we're faced with catastrophes. In some ways, the catastrophes that we're facing is an opportunity.
Yes. See, at talks I do as a journalist, I'm often asked the confronting question, why is the news always so bad? And I get that. And I say, first of all, because you watch it. If good news rated, Rupert Murdoch would have gone good,
yes,
decades ago. Here's my theory, and I think it probably goes to this.
Yes.
Without wanting to take over this conversation. We live each day as if we will last forever.
Yes.
So if you think about how you got up this morning, how I got up, think this day's going to go on, and this week, and this month, this year, this decade. Well, that's good, but it's not reality. We do have a frail and fleeting life. It's got boundaries. I think we're wired to be more in touch with reality than we are. So watching the news as this frail and fleeting life plays out in a whole host of ways, in a whole host of people's lives. We're more grounded in that reality by watching the news. That's why the news is bad.
So you're feeling like it's either balancing out our default position.
Yeah.
Our default seems to be
health, strength and longevity,
strength,
which is fantastic.
But it's not reality.
No. We have much to thank modern medicine for, but it's so good that I think we believe if I'm sick or something, I just take a pill and get over it.
Mm.
And when coronavirus comes smashing up to us, we've got pause for thought.
That's true. It's interesting because I've often thought of the term, we live how we think we die.
Tell me more.
If we think that when we die, that there's nothing more, then basically we live for what we can do in this life and do and own and have, and we spend it all.
Live it up.
And live it up and just take advantage of what's going on there. If we think that we die and we're reincarnated in another being, either a higher order or a lower order, then we live according to what we want to have happen in that next life.
Yes.
So if we want to come back as an ant, which we wouldn't, you'd probably, you know, kill a few people and do stuff like that. But if we wanted to come back as a higher order being, then we would do some things that are kind. So most of us would think, okay, if I want to come back as a better person, then I'm going to have to do some good things in this life.
It will affect us day to day.
Yes.
Really.
If we think that life goes on in a better form, then what we would do here is spend time telling other people and sharing that. If we think life is about love, and I'm going through all of the religions here.
Yes.
And sharing love, then we would make sure that we loved people in every corner of our lives.
Because that's an attractive thing.
Yes. So essentially the existentialism is about how we think we die.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's a spiritual question, do you think?
It's still an existential question because essentially we've got crises going on around us, and in those crises that go around us, we interpret a meaning whether we want to or not.
How we view ourselves.
Yes. And like you said, if we think we're going to live forever and then someone's going to threaten that next door who's got the virus, then we wouldn't talk to them and we'd hide away and we'd see them as an enemy.
So how can we be more resilient? What are the things that we're going to tell ourselves about life to do life in a more resilient way with these existential questions swirling around us?
As a researcher, as a psychologist, psychologists always tap into research. We pick up the work that we've done on looking at resilient people. And over around the world, resilient people have a belief in a higher order, a faith, without a doubt.
Is that any faith?
Yes. So it's not necessarily a particular faith, but a faith. And in that, that affects our existentialism. It means that if you have a belief that there is something more to your life, then you're going to reach out to people more. You're going to connect. You're going to care because you want to come back as a better being,
yes,
or you see that love is important. So you're going to reach out and care for others. You don't see the person next door as a threat to your humanity. You see that person and you feel sorry for them and you have compassion for them. So you might organise a optimistic box of wonderful things for that they can do while they're in quarantine and
yes,
drop it at their doorstep. Or you might connect with them online and just say, how are you going? Just checking in. Those sorts of reaching out things are helpful. You may not fight over toilet paper in the aisles.
No.
You might actually ring your friends and say, what's your stash like?
Well, there's the saying, do to others as you'd have them do to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you might say, well, I've got a stash, but I know that the person down the road is elderly. They haven't been able to get out because they've only got a little trolley to bring things, so I'm going to drop a few rolls over to them. So that's that sort of reaching out and looking around and making sure that everybody's doing okay. And that's okay, but there are lots of people out there who don't do the same, who are selfish, who are holding back. And what we tend to do when we're resilient is that we find also like-minded people. And we think outside of the square with that mob. And what I'd like to challenge people to do is that how can Australians have this as a benefit? Have this series of events establish our existential crisis, which then enables us to start looking at who we are despite the fact of what we own and what we think we're going to have in this life and hold to ourselves.
What kind of light might that shine for each other and for the rest of the world, if this becomes an Australian thing where we've taken up these opportunities in the midst of great questions of life and death?
I would love to see more compassion. I would love to see that our multicultural society then has a sense of we, not them and us.
Yes.
I would love to see that we have this compassionate response to others who are suffering. And either we're able to reach out online, we're able to reach out with humour, we're able to give people a sense of we're with you, we
yes,
care for you, and Australians care for others.
Because we see that happening
yeah,
again over yeah, and over in
yes,
crises,
yes,
actually.
Yes,
true
we
community.
Do. Yes, we do. And we saw it in the bushfires.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know we've had a number of things since the bushfires.
And I'm sure it's going on during
Corona. It's still going on in the Corona. Like even with people that I can see even in our own office, we're reaching out. We've got online sessions now so that we can make sure that people can link in with us. Mm. Business as usual. We know that we can keep ourselves safe and healthy, but we have to keep going and do business as usual and see this as an opportunity to care and grow in the process of this.
Shine that light.
Yes, that would be great.
What a wonderful conversation, Lynn Worsley. As always, thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. Head to the Resilience Centre website for lots of great resources and an inspiring range of our other podcasts. www.theresiliencecentre.com.au